Nothing that you have created was created by accident. Everything was thoughtfully and wonderfully made. We honor you. We praise you and we thank you for your involvement in our lives. And we ask that as you continue to move and change our hearts, that you would cause us to impact the people who we come into contact with every day. Use us, speak through us, and may our lives be a testimony to the goodness that you are. And we ask these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. So if you have a Bible, if you would like to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. And we're going to do a wee mini series for the next 2 weeks just on creating a culture of saying what you mean. Or as Charlene put it quite well, say what you mean but don't say it mean. Which is great. And just before we go into that, I feel the need to bring some clarification just for something that I had said at Big Group on Wednesday night. And myself and one of my friends from Bible College, we talk about this passage probably every week. And deliberately so, but also with an element of humour. Because the passage where it says yes, yes, or no, no. We studied this at length when we were in college in Greek, and what it literally says there is it says nai nai oo oo, and it's almost become one of our salutations. Whenever we phone each other, it's one of the things that we often just say before we say anything else. We'll just say nai nai oo oo. And it's just a humour thing. And so that we're looking at this verse automatically puts a smile on my face on the one hand, but the seriousness of the passage is something else. So before we go any further, will we read the passage? Matthew 5:33. Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfil to the Lord the oaths you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And that's quite a serious statement that Jesus has put in there. But the problem is with letting your yes be yes and your no be no. No rarely makes the recipient happy. And yet Jesus instructs us, just say a simple yes I will or no I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Say yes or no. That's it. But before we get to that, James 5 verse 12, and we'll look into the thing about oaths first. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Adding to your words, trying to embellish what it is that you're saying, is only going to cause you to trip up. It is only going to cause you to be condemned. And when it's talking about swearing, and it's not talking about profanity, but it's talking about making oaths or promises to other people. Why would believers need to make promises to other people if we are living righteous lives. As soon as you say, excuse me, as soon as you say, I promise, if you don't follow that through, you're not going to look great afterward. As soon as you make a vow and you break it, you feel worse than you did before. It's like making a covenant and not keeping the covenant. You're going to feel worse than before you made the covenant. And so as soon as we promise something and then don't do it, it just makes the situation worse for us. Having the urge to swear reveals someone who may feel they have to prove themselves to other people. You don't have to prove yourself. They might have a sordid past of not telling the truth, and other people find it difficult to trust them. And there's only one remedy for that, and that is to begin a life of truthfulness. When we're transformed by Jesus, when we invite him into our life the very first time, there's a transformation inwardly. But that should then make a difference outwardly. And as Jesus has transformed our lives, it should change everything. And how we speak should be part of that as well. Confess your past failings and seek forgiveness. Know that you're a new creature in Christ and not limited to the failings of your past. That was then. This is now. We don't drive looking in the rearview mirror. But let's create some context. So the Jews and oaths. It was a common practice among the Jews of Jesus' day to make promises based on objects of the earth and not on the name of God. If you go on a Jewish website or if you read Jewish books, quite often it'll have G_D, especially on websites. They won't write the name of God. Similarly, when it came to writing the name Yahweh and stuff, they wouldn't write that. They would leave letters missing so that it honoured God, because they felt that it was in reverence that they wouldn't write his name. So they would make promises based on objects of the earth, not in the name of God. And they did this as a way out, just in case they broke their oaths. So they recognised their infallibility already. So they wouldn't promise in the name of God, because if they couldn't fulfil it, it just made it worse. But why then would you have to promise based on anything? Why would you have to make an oath? They believed that it wasn't a matter of judgment as long as the promise wasn't made in his name. But Jesus takes it further than that, doesn't he? Because he says, don't make an oath or swear on the earth or in heaven. Don't swear on anything, don't do it at all. That's what he said. Every Jew in Jesus' day knew that making an oath was very serious. And in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19 verse 12 says, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of God. I am the Lord. So you're not meant to swear by his name, but Jesus takes it the next day. You're not meant to swear at all. You're not meant to make oaths. You're only making it difficult for yourself. Then in the third commandment, Exodus 20 verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. To use God's name in vain means more than just profanity. Vain means that which is worthless or useless. It's kind of like this. Using it in a term which is false. And so if you're swearing on something, all you're trying to do is add credibility to the words that you're using. That you would need to use God's name to bring that credibility shows that there's an element of, or that lacks credibility already. That you have to do that. But also, when we use his name or take his name in vain, it's like lifting his name up to nothingness. It's like lifting the name of the Lord, but there's no end result, and it's just like, oh, you just said that for the sake of saying it. There is no point. And so we're no meant to use the Lord's name in vain. And in quoting the religious leaders of his day, Jesus says, "You've heard that it's been said by them of old, you shall not forswear yourself." In the King James, that's what it says. To forswear means to swear something falsely. And so if you swear on something and then don't follow it through, we call that perjury in the court system today. And it's a willful act of swearing a false oath or falsifying an affirmation to tell the truth. And so we have seen on the news people have committed perjury, and oftentimes they get quite a severe sentence in prison. Severely reprimanded, and their credibility just goes right down the toilet. And that's what perjury is. And so Jesus says, don't forswear. Don't swear to something falsely. Don't swear to anything, because if you can't keep up to what it is you've said, you've done it falsely. You've done it in God's name, and you're not meant to do that. Most Jews were very careful not to break the law of Moses, and so they developed ways around the law in the way that they used their oaths, as in on earth, on heaven, not on God, and then on their own head. But Jesus addresses that as well, because you don't have the power to make a hair black or white. And that means somebody who's young and somebody who's old. Matthew 5:34, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." I put the King James translation in there deliberately for effect. It's hard to read though, isn't it? The religious leaders taught that as long as you didn't directly involve God in your oaths, it was okay to promise something you might not keep. And so Jews would say things like, "I swear by the temple that what I'm saying is true." But the temple was the holy place. It was the place where God inhabited at that time. But to them it wasn't the same as swearing by the name of God. And so it didn't carry the same weight as saying, "I swear to God that what I'm saying is true." It's like making a promise with your fingers crossed behind your back. You don't really mean it. Do you ever do that? Especially when you were younger. You cross your fingers behind your back and you'd be like, and you're saying one thing, but because your fingers were crossed, you didn't really mean it. How duplicitous is that? And that we do that knowingly. And people were doing that knowingly. And so the Jews had figured out a way to manipulate the truth and make it sound like they were being honest, even when they knew they weren't. And that is what Jesus is addressing. Honesty and dishonesty. From the teaching of Jesus, we see that they swore by heaven, by earth, by the city of Jerusalem, and even by the hair on their head. But Jesus criticized them for doing that. And then he comes to the point, a simple yes or no. Yes or no. That's it. But why is it difficult for us just to say yes or no? Sometimes we think we need to qualify our stance. We need to substantiate our position. We need to qualify what we've just said, because saying yes or no isn't strong enough. It's not good enough. And maybe it's because we like the ambiguity of not having to follow through with what we say. But there's a really easy way around that. Somebody asks you a question and you say yes or no. Then if it comes to the point that you can't fulfill it, don't just avoid it, contact them. Get in touch. We have these wonderful things now called mobile phones. And that means that you can take them everywhere you are. And you can contact them and say, do you know, I said that I would be there at this time. I'm really sorry, something's happened. I can't make it for that time. However, I can be there then. Does that suit? Don't just let it go. If you've said that you're going to say something, just say yes or no, and then if it changes, get in touch and let them know why. Maybe because it's easier to put off a tough decision for a later time. So if somebody asks you a question, or they ask you to do something, and you can't say yes or no there and then, just say, I don't know right now, but can I get back to you? And do that. And sometimes we might flirt with tendencies towards deceitfulness and not want to tell others that our true intentions are. Whatever the reason, God expects us as children to be clear-cut with our words. You can say no to somebody, be meaning what you're saying, but no being meaning how you say it. You don't have to be mean to say no. If you've got children and your children are trying to go and touch the fire, you say no, don't you? Because you don't want them to burn themselves. You want to permit your children to do most things that are not going to harm them. So you're not being mean to tell them no. You just have to do it. And sometimes we just have to say no. We're not to wade into the subtle grey areas of ambiguity with our words. Say it like it is. We're to be people who speak plainly, clearly and truthfully so that we're not condemned by our own words. Because Jesus, it says in James that it will condemn us. And then Jesus says that it comes from the evil one. But you know, we can condemn ourselves with the words that we say. And so if you want to say something, say yes or no. It might take some time to learn this. There's a wonderful book called Boundaries by two men called Cloud and Townsend. And it's okay to have boundaries. Where there are things where you're just going to say, yeah. And then there's things you're just going to say no. And you don't have to qualify that. And a lot of times we get this impression that as Christians we can't say no. You're not a doormat. You're not made for people just to walk all over you and that if they ask you to do something you have to do it. If you can't do it, just say no. Don't try and explain or give validity to the reason why you've said no. Just say no. Don't make an explanation. And when we've made the decision not to say yes to something, decline the offer graciously. Say what you mean, but don't be mean. But don't try and justify your answer. When we try to explain our no, it simply empowers the recipient to negotiate with us. Now, you don't need to turn and say, I'm telling you no, and it's not open for negotiation. That's mean, even though that's what you mean to say. Just say no. And the other person might be surprised. They might even be shocked. But the reality is that when you've said no, doesn't mean you don't like them. You could have something else going on, and therefore you're unable to commit to that. But you don't need to give them your business. Just say no. Or, if you can do it, just say yes. It's entirely down to you. So take authority of no with love and confidence and render it with compassion and respect. It's okay to say no. In verse 37 is essentially a commandment. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's in the imperative mood, meaning that when a person has to say yes, they should say yes and nothing more. And when we have to say no, we should say no and nothing more. The main point being that we should never need an oath to reinforce anything we might say. And here's the thing. Our character should make an oath completely unnecessary. It's a character issue. Your character makes the need for an oath completely unnecessary. That's how we need to see this. Our guarantee and witness should lie in who we are. And that's the culture that we want to build. That's the culture that I want to be part of. Creating a culture of saying what you mean. But so often we get this desire, this urge to explain the reasons why. Greek philosopher Isocrates said, "A man must lead a life which will gain more confidence in him than ever an oath can do." The confidence should be seen in who you are, in your character. He saw that way back in the day, that it's about your character. Don't embellish what it is that you have to say. Clement of Alexandria insisted that Christians must lead such a life and demonstrate such a character that no one will ever dream of asking an oath from them. So if you say yes or no and someone starts questioning you at length, you don't have to justify your answer. You just have to say, "Look, I'm really sorry, but that's my answer." And in your head, you're saying, they're trying to negotiate. It's not open for negotiation. No one should put you in that position in the first place. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. The ideal culture is one in which no one's word will ever need an oath to guarantee its truth, and no one's promise ever need an oath to guarantee its fulfilling. That's the culture I want to be part of. That's the society I want to be part of, where yes and no is automatically taken by trust, that's it. There's no explanation necessary. We don't have to do that. An oath is only needed where a person's word is unreliable and it's an admission of failure and truthfulness. As believers, that should never, ever need to be the case. Our word should always be reliable. You ever hear the saying, he's a man of his word? We've all heard that, right? You only say that about somebody that you know that you can trust, don't you? They have a reputation for being trustworthy. Imagine being part of a community where our culture is automatically looking at people as they're a person of their word. We're meant to be different. But it's getting to the stage now where there's not that much of a difference between what's going on in the world and what's happening in the church, because the world is in the church. The church is in the world and is meant to have an impact on it. But too much of the world is coming into the church and influencing who we are and what we do. And we're called to be different. in the world but not of it. And I want to be part of a culture that's counterculture to that. But that starts in here with every single one of us. So I know, and this is due to work and relationship that we have, but sometimes I phone Sharon and say, Sharon, can you do this? And she feels comfortable enough that sometimes she said no. And I'm like, right, okay. She doesn't have to qualify why she said no, but when it has come down to it and we've ended up chatting later on, it's because she was doing 7 other things and couldn't do that at that time, but ended up doing it later. And I would say that more than 99% of the time that's been the case. She doesn't need to qualify that because we work together. You shouldn't have to, especially with somebody who you know. But if it's somebody within the congregation, somebody who knows you're a believer, then your character should be enough. And in this context, your character is enough. The fact that it's sometimes necessary to take an oath is a demonstration of the evil and unforgiven, unredeemed human nature. We don't live in that nature anymore. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. John 8:44 associates falsehood with the devil, who is the father of lies. As soon as you start to embellish your words, you're going to trip yourself up. You're going to start saying things that you don't really mean and that you don't really need to say. So just say it like it is. Graciously. That's the target. That's the aim of what it is that we want to do. Let your yes be true and your no be true. Not yes and an oath. Or known an oath. That's the type of community and culture that I seek to be part of. I don't know how you grew up. I don't know what your life was like. I know some before you knew Jesus. But that's not the culture that I was part of. I grew up in a culture where it was survival of the fittest, and you did what you had to do to get what it was you wanted. Taking other people's issues into consideration was never an option. You were blinkered, self-focused, and couldn't give a monkey's about anyone else. And quite often, it didn't matter who you hurted en route as long as you got what it was that you wanted. That's no longer the case. So my encouragement to you is this. Create boundaries. And if you need to say yes, then say yes. If you need to say no, then say no without any fear of what the other person's thinking, because what they think about you is none of your business. That's up to them. Then the problem lies with them. And you don't feel compelled to start, well, I can't do this because I have this and this and that. Then you're giving away all your business. You don't have to do that. Just say yes or no. Because as soon as we start to go on that road of explanation, you might just not want to do it. but then you're going to make up a false reason for not wanting to do it. So instead of doing that, just say no. Let your yes be true and your no be true. As I said, that's the type of culture that I want to be part of. Do you want to stand?